Peter must have preached last week. The pulpit's staying sound. Give me a second. If I don't do this, I'll be looking down too much. Well, it's glad to be back. I was up in Ferndale last Sunday morning visiting some relatives, and overnight, well, it started about 5 o'clock on Saturday night. By the time we woke up in the morning, we had about at least a foot of snow on top of my truck and a little bit more on the snowdrifts that were happening, and we missed services altogether. They canceled all the services in the churches around Ferndale, and that was quite the experience. I got out of there. We had kind of a service at my cousin's house, and then I said, okay, it's time for us to get going, and that was about noon. We got out of there about 1. I hit the freeway and stopped. And I was one of the lucky few that was persistent enough to get by all the accidents and make it down here before they shut it down. If I hadn't left at that time, I probably would have been up there through Thursday because it was quite difficult up there going. But praise God, I'm back, and it's good to be in fellowship with the family. Those of you who have heard the messages and the series that I've been speaking on, you kind of know where we are, but I want to do a quick review for those who haven't had the opportunity to listen to any other in the series. This is the last of 6 messages on the purpose and life of the disciple. There it is. We have learned that, first off, that we were created to become a disciple of Christ. And that's the purpose in general why we're here, why we've been brought into life, is to become a disciple of Christ, bottom line. And so we've looked at, well, what does it mean to be a disciple of Christ? And we found four distinct purposes of a disciple of Christ so far. And I'm going to put that on the screen here next. As a disciple, we are, number one, to worship God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And we talked about that our life needs to be more than just a worship coming here on Sunday morning, but every day it needs to be a worship to God, something that would be presentable to Him. Secondly, we discovered as a disciple that we are formed to be like Christ. You see, God is intent on making us just like Jesus in every way. And so we are called disciples or followers of Jesus. Next, we discovered that as a disciple, we are designed for fellowship in the family of God. We have to be in fellowship with the family of God. And we went and looked that apart and realized that it's not just coming on Sunday morning that's going to get us in fellowship with one another. We are not going to get to know each other as family. I'm reminded of my relatives. We used to meet once a year over in Yakima and have this family reunion. Every year, it took me 2 or 3 hours, right towards the end of our time together, to get familiar with my family, my cousins. And just when we started to get familiar, then we had to leave. And we didn't see each other for a big set of time. And I know just a few minutes that we fellowship, we have a time where we greet each other, is not enough for you to know each other. And so fellowship is very important. Do you remember that fourth purpose? Last month, we explored the purpose of ministry. We learned that we were created uniquely by God as disciples to serve in His church, and through His church, we serve Christ. We're also going to serve those around us in the world around us. You had the opportunity to examine how you are serving Him and His church. We are starting to see that a real disciple of Christ looks a lot different than those in the world and those around. If they don't understand the purpose of the disciple of Christ, they're not going to have any of these qualities, any of these purposes in their lives. And so there's going to be a big difference between the way you look and the way those in the world they also do something different. As disciples, we're seeing that they're starting to prepare us for eternity, worshiping God all day long as He comes with us. We're going to be worshiping Him in heaven all day long. Being like Christ in all we do. Loving and fellowshipping with the family. Getting to really know the family so we can love each other as He's called us to do and serve the King and His kingdom as part of our love offering to Him. Well, today's fifth purpose of a disciple of Christ is focus on witnessing to people so that they can also experience eternity. Jesus says to us these words in John 17:18. In the same way that you gave me a mission, he's praying to God the Father. He says, in the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. And he's talking specifically to us, the church, to us who are his disciples. I give them a mission. He gives us a mission. This is the final purpose that I want to share with you about being a disciple of Christ. It is to share the good news or the idea known as evangelism, that they too can become disciples of Christ. This fifth purpose for everyone. This purpose is for everyone of his disciples. That claim to be a Christian, he's talking to you. It's not just for a special few. Each of us needs a ministry focused on the church's body, yes, but we also need a ministry focused outwardly. We need a mission to the world. You know, the discovery of what it means to be a disciple of Christ, we have seen that there needs to be a need for balance. When we were talking about worship, we talked about loving the Lord our God. Didn't we talk about a balance there with our heart, our mind, and our strength? And if you overdo one, we've got legalistic people. If we overdo one, we've got people that are all about passion. We've got people that don't do work. But using each one of those and putting them all balanced together, then we become healthy. Well, the tendency is to focus on one or the other, but both of these, a ministry focused on the church body and a ministry focused outwardly, are needed as disciples of Christ. The mission we have is both a common mission and a customized mission. Every single one of us is commanded to make disciples. Matthew 28:18-20 says this, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'll be with you always to the very end of the age. You see, we are responsible for witnessing to others about our Savior. However, every single one of us is formed differently. Would you agree with that? Not all of you are like me. Okay, I'm a lot different than a lot of you, and I'm learning this more and more. After almost 15 years of marriage to my wife, I'm going, you know, I'm a lot different than you are. And she's discovering the same thing. We're not the same. There's big differences between us. Just like in ministry to the church, each of us will have different types of mission responsibilities. Some will boldly preach, like I'm doing right now. Others will organize ministries that touch the community. Some will have a knack of befriending a neighbor. Others can minister to people with the struggles that they have overcome. Remember Penny Colling? Penny was wonderful at that. Ministering to the struggles and things that she's overcome in her life and reaching out in that way. Whatever the type of ministry and role we play, all of us have the job of sharing the good news. By the way, those of you know Penny, she's down in California now with one of her sons, and she's having a great time down there with the church. They opened arms and accepted her, so just wanted to pass that on today. Just heard that information. Let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 is kind of interesting. Now, we need to go with in mind that the disciples were to share with us what they had been shared with Christ. And so this is something that Jesus said to them. He says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This passage gives three locations that we need to focus our ministry of telling others. Every time I come right here, I'm getting feedback. I'm sorry. You might want to drop me down. I'm hearing it right out of this one, I think. Am I hooked up to the monitor? That might be something that's killing me. Sorry. Three areas. Jerusalem. Jerusalem is... Yeah, there it is. I can't stay on that pulpit. I'm sorry. Jerusalem is the people closest to me. They were in Jerusalem. The people closest to me. In Judea and Samaria, those are the people near me, but possibly different from me. Okay? Not exactly like me. And then it says to the ends of the earth, and that I include everybody else. Did you notice the words witness? See the word witness? It delineates what our common ministry is and what it's not. Let's first look at what it's not. Number one, we are not defense attorneys arguing a case. How many of us get into that mode sometimes? Mm-hmm. We have to defend God. We have to be the defense attorneys. It says that we are what? Witnesses. We are not prosecutors trying to convince people of their guilt. We're what? Witnesses. We are not salesmen trying to sell a product. You know, God can sell his own product. He's done that quite well for over 2,000 years. We are witnesses, and this means we are simply to tell and or show others what we have seen and experienced. So the question is, what have we seen and experienced that's worth telling? What are we witnessing to? Now take hope. This is not mission impossible. This is mission expected. God is in the business of rescuing people from the world and placing them into his family. The adding to the church is God's plan. As Ephesians 3 emphasizes, this was God's plan for all of history, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. The big question then is, how can I complete my mission? Let me share with you today three ways that we can do this. Now, in your bulletin, they've only got the first one printed. So we're going to do that all together, and then you're going to have to add the other two. Okay? Let's look further at these three locations of your mission first. The first direction we get is that we must share with those in our own personal world. Okay? In the Jerusalem. There was a man who was filled with a bunch of demons. He lived among the tombs. He did great harm to himself, it says. And the townspeople, they even tried to chain him down. But the demonic power was too strong, and he broke free. And so he was harassing everybody. And when Jesus ran into him, it says, he cast out the demons into a herd of pigs. Suddenly, that man was fully in his right mind, it says. And he was free. See, Jesus touched him. Jesus changed his life. He was so excited that he asked Jesus one thing. He asked him, "Can I go with you?" And Jesus, though, said something different, didn't he? He had a different plan for this man. He said, Luke 8:39, he said, "Go back home and tell people how much God has done for you." So the man went all over town telling how much Jesus had done for him. He went to his Jerusalem. He went to his town. This is our first way of fulfilling our fifth purpose as a disciple of Christ. We must go to our family and friends and share with them that what we have learned and what we've experienced. We begin by trying to witness to those we know best. This is our Jerusalem. And it sounds like a good plan, doesn't it? Well, then why don't we do more of that? I was thinking right now, I'd love to show you my video that I show the teens of six reasons why we don't evangelize. But I know they'd get bored because I'd already showed them that. So we'll talk it out. Our first way of fulfilling, our first myth that we're going to take a look at is that people aren't interested in spiritual things. Okay? People just aren't interested in spiritual things. So we avoid bringing it up so we don't aggravate the people. This is a myth. There were two findings in a recent Gallup poll that you got to know about. They found that 65 million people do not attend church anywhere. However, 34 million of them said they would attend if someone had would just ask them. Pretty amazing. Secondly, a poll revealed that teens would rather talk about God than about sex, drugs, and music. Now, it's tough to talk to teens, I grant you. So why not try talking to them about their favorite subject? Talk to them about God. You know, if you ask one of these people in this world here, probably, or ask two of them, probably one will say yes, according to that Gallup poll. One and two. A second barrier to sharing the faith is feeling inadequately prepared to share the gospel. Most Christians actually know the content of the gospel. The uncertainty lies in exactly how to share it. Let me help you organize your thoughts so you can do it with more confidence. There are a number of ways. Many years ago, I remember taking a class from Ralph and Bill Palm from my dad. And each time I took the class, they shared with me a different approach. Some shared more than one. You might have heard of the Roman Road, using the book of Romans to share the gospel. Let me suggest one that's based loosely on the book of Romans as well. It's called the bad news, the good news, and the news you can use. We all remember that, right? The bad news, the good news, and the news you can use. Okay? Go something like this. The bad news is this. Straight to the point. Romans 3:23 says this. All have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. We all have. We've all sinned. One single sin will separate us from the perfect God for eternity, it says. Romans 6:23 tells us the wages of sin is death. See, you guys got it. And any sin carries with it the penalty for eternity of death. But we can't change that on our own. And so there's good news. The good news is that we have a Savior. Though we could never make up on our own for the sin that we have done, Jesus died in our place so that our sins can be forgiven. The good news. Romans 5:8 reveals that God demonstrates His own love for us in this. How do you do it? While we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. The penalty is paid for us. Well, what's the news we can use then? If we look at the other half of Romans 6:23, we learn that the gift of God is eternal life. In whom? Christ Jesus, our Lord. Our rescue from sin and our return to a relationship with God is not something we earn. It's through Jesus Christ. There's an easy way of sharing with people how we get into Jesus Christ, how we get this undeserved gift. Acts 2:38 and Romans 6 tells it real plainly. He says, we receive forgiveness and the gift of the Holy Spirit indwelling in our lives by believing in God's Son Jesus and being then baptized into Him. That's simple. Acting out the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus in our own lives through the obedience of baptism and what it symbolizes in Christ. Allowing our old self to die and be made new in Christ through baptism into Christ is essential to giving our lives to Christ. We read Romans 6:3. We see the Apostle Paul explaining to Christians that their baptism into Christ and what was it all about. Nice explanation of what baptism is all about. He starts in verse 3. He says, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Verse 5, if we have been united with Him like this in His death, we will certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him so the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, but because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Verse 8, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. You see, death no longer has mastery over Him. The death He died to sin once and for all. But the life He lives to God. Verse 11, in that same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive in God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Okay? Now that you've done this, don't let it reign. Therefore, do not let it reign. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness. Don't give it the chance. But rather offer yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. There's an action. There's a thing that you need to do as His disciple. For sin shall not be your master because you are not under law but under grace. And then in verse 22 it says, but now that you have been set free from this sin and have become slaves to God, the benefits you reap lead to holiness, and the result is eternal life. News we can use. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, Paul, he goes on, continues to explain God's gift of salvation in Romans 10:9. He says, if we confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord, we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, then we're going to be saved. It's a belief that we put into action. Inviting the Lord to take control of our lives and trusting in His provision in the cross and resurrection makes a difference. That's good news we can use. We can have eternal life, and so it's essential to express our faith and commitment to Him. You know, there's a third barrier that gets in our way from sharing with our friends and family. It can be our own selfishness of the way we want to do church. Our own selfishness in the way we want to do church. Doesn't that always seem to get it in the way? You see, our preferences for our church, the way we do things or don't do things, also can interfere with reaching those without Christ. How many times have you heard someone say, I like a smaller church where I can get to know everybody? Okay? Or someone will say, I want that ministry or the church and worship service to be the way I enjoy it. Maybe some of you didn't like the classic choir this morning. Maybe some of you loved it. I heard some amens. The problem with our statements is that we have forgotten the purpose of God's church when we make those statements. The church's reason to exist is to make disciples. It's not about us. It's not about what we like. It is about Jesus and the kingdom He is building. Bottom line. Our preferences get our focus off of reaching our world for Christ. There are two more hindrances to evangelism, our friends and family. One is wrong-headed theology, and the other is not believing or acting out the mandate to live what we believe. Because we really do not know all the truths of God's Word, even though we think we do, many are persuaded to believe the devil's half-truths found all over the major Christian denominations of our world. We don't even know whether what others are teaching is what the Bible says or not, often. Just because it sounds good doesn't make it God's Word. If we don't know where opinion starts and stops, how do we know what is truth? And so, many question God's real intervention and love in our lives. And also because of our real lack of understanding or knowledge of His Word, we can't even defend the truth when it comes to movies that Hollywood produces or when people write such fictitious books or movies like the Da Vinci Code. We don't know what's truth out of that and what's not. And that's sad, because we should. And so this gives way to this last one, not believing or living the mandate to live what we believe. Real faith, real belief is living what you believe. If I'm an activist for animals, and I'm downtown holding my sign, don't use animals for whatever, and I'm wearing my favorite Nikes, I have a problem. I'm not living what I believe. That leather on those shoes comes from an animal. Do we live what we believe? A survey done by sociologist Glock and Stark found that among those churches that are trying to proclaim the gospel, over half of their members, close friends, are likely to belong to that same congregation. So those who are really trying to evangelize, half of their members are there. Whereas among the general churchgoer, few or none of their close friends are likely to be members of the local church. If we hold an evangelistic view, if we believe the mandate to go and share the good news, we must understand that our task then is winning the world for Christ. And so we must act on that belief and reach our families and friends. What do we really believe? That's the question. If I'm going to complete my mission, I must dare to reach beyond my world. That's my second point. You may write that down. I must dare to reach beyond my world. We need to have the mindset of Paul. He said in 1 Corinthians 9:22, "Whatever a person is like, I try to find common ground with him so that he will let me tell him about Christ and let Christ save him." I always hear this verse used to defend why I look and do the things I do. That wasn't what Paul was trying to do. Paul was trying to get to the point that we need to go and reach those in our world that are somewhat maybe uncomfortable to me, that might be a little different than me, that might not think like me, act like me, dress like me, speak like me. The world beyond our comfort zone may not be very far away. Postal reports that 72% of Americans don't know their next door neighbors. 72% of us do not know our next door neighbor. We must have courage to go beyond those we are familiar with and reach out to new acquaintances and people around the world. We need to enter into the world of those who are needy. It may get messy, but that is the way of Christ. Galatians 6:2, "Stoop down, reach out to those who are oppressed, share their burdens, and so complete Christ's law." Many of you have found ways to reach out to people, and I want to applaud you at this time. You have shown the compassion of Christ with others and have tried to be faithful witnesses of Christ. I was thinking, these are a few of the ways. The first way I thought about right away was our evangelism teams. We've got a lot of evangelism teams, a teen group or adult group or children's group. Don leads them out with a group of other men and ladies who are committed to wanting to reach the world. In fact, in a couple of weeks, on a Sunday night from now, I think the 17th, we'll have a play produced by the teen and children's group that they want to share with the congregation and for those of the community. We have a thing known as a reach out night with the youth. On Monday nights, we have a nice, pleasant area that we can invite young people to. It's not church, but it's a place that they can get to know Christ safely. November and December drives for food and toys. This year we added the blankets being delivered to those in need. Those are all powerful ways of meeting the needs of those in our community. The children's fall harvest party that we had this year and last, and our vacation Bible school, ways to reach out to the community. Numbers of you have jobs that involve you caring for people in need. We have some daycares and caregivers in our congregation, and you let your light shine in each of those situations. I know some of you just work hours to let your light, let Christ's light shine to the people you service. Adult game nights and sending out follow-up cards and encouragement cards, more ways of going beyond. Some of you have gone on short-term mission trips to the Dominican Republic, and some of you are planning to go to Mexico this summer. You have dared to reach beyond your world and meet real needs in the name of Christ. Missionary and church prayer lists have been made up and published weekly and monthly. And I just really thank those who are praying for those on the list. Remember the words of Scripture in James 1:27 that says, "Real religion, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this: reach out to the homeless and loveless in their plight." That's what real religion is all about. Matthew 25, 34 through 46 also says this a little differently. It says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, for the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world is here. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And then the righteous will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or feed you, or thirsty or give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes or clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for the one of the least of these brothers, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, for you are cursed into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick, or in prison, and did not help you? And he will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Are you living what you believe? That's what that's all about. Are you living what you believe? In October of 2005, an elderly man passed away while sitting in his parked car in the city of Melbourne, Australia. He remained there for several days before his body was found and identified by city officials. However, after the man's death and 2 days before the discovery of the body, a police officer happened by and gave that car a parking ticket and attached it to the windshield of the car. The head of Maroondah City Council later apologized for the incident, saying, it must be just so sad for the family, and we extend our sincere sympathies to them. And then he added, it is simply a case of the parking officer not noticing. Who are we not noticing in our world? The needs and the opportunities are right in front of us. Let's dare to see them and respond. You know, whenever we talk about missions, and invariably someone brings up the objection, I think there are plenty of needs here at home first. I think we should concentrate on reaching the people locally first. The problem is you will never reach everyone locally. And that's not good enough, because God loves the whole world. Jesus said to his followers in Mark 16:15, go everywhere, go into all the world, and tell the good news to everyone. I must care about the whole world. Third point. I must care about the whole world. You can write that down. This command of Jesus is not addressed to just ministers or evangelists or pastors or missionaries or other professionals. It is spoken to everyone that claims to be a Christian. Everyone that is a disciple of Christ. Go. All who are disciples of Christ carry this charge. Together, we have the responsibility to passionately seek to reach the whole world. We should support mission offerings sacrificially, I believe. But we need to do more than that. We should be praying for our world. But even more than that, you know, I'm wondering if we would all just sit down and choose a country or a people or a group that need the gospel. Learn about that area of the world. Discover their needs and what hinders them from receiving the truth. Pray earnestly for them and for the way that they might, that you might make that impact for God in that area. I think that would be an awesome thing to do. Remember the missionary prayer list. My wife and I get that monthly, and I try with her each week to pray at least once a week for every missionary that's on that list, and bring them before God. The command to tell and go forth into all the world is for all Christians to go to the world. Maybe we get stuck in focusing too much on our local setting. Maybe we need to think a little bit outside the box. I want to share with you, I've been saying I was going to do this, what our team Mexico is planning to do the start of the next summer, the last week in June. And my next slide shares with us where we're going. We're going to a Bible college that all they speak is Spanish. a college that prepares men and women to teach the people in the world who speak Spanish. This happens to be a class in Piedras Negras, 6 miles into Mexico from Eagle Pass, Texas. Next slide. Our team members planning on going, who have either signed a contract, turned in paperwork, or confirmed verbally with me, my family, Jesse Sandel expressed interest a couple of weeks ago and confirmed today that she wants to go. Alexis, did I say Jesse Sandel? And I told her, I gave her a bad time today because she was looking in the cooter box. O'Neill, it's right on the board back there. I wrote it down and I walked straight over there to change it. I should have left it alone. Sorry. Jesse O'Neill, she's not a Sandel. Poor and Greg going on. Sorry, Greg. And, Alexis Harris, Evan Albertson, and in the back of the bulletin board, we actually have little thermometers that share. If you like to be involved in helping them go, they are trying to raise the money, and there's certain things that they need to have done. We have a couple other members, one's from the Longview Church and one from St. Helens Church. Both happens to be minister's kids, Emily Hawkins and Mark Bissell, both graduating this year, and they're planning on going with us as well. Another one of our young people that's told me, and I haven't confirmed yet with Scott or Scott. There are other ones that are thinking about it still. I had about a dozen, I'm willing to put more onto this group. I would love to take you. I need you to say, yes, this is something I want to go for and make it possible in my life, and I'll get you some information and things that you can say, okay, we're going to move forward and get this done. Next slide. This is the type of work we're going to be doing there. Now, a lot of people think missionaries are going to go out and be preaching and teaching. What we're going to do is we're going to support the team, the people that are already there doing that work. And this is how we're doing some missionary work. I think it's the best way, especially for us who are not competent in the Spanish language. Now, there may be some on here that can speak it and be pretty competent, and we'll be using some of the things, especially this Vacation Bible School, to be teaching. But most of our time will be spent doing typical work that you would do around the church building here. Mowing grass, cleaning yards, painting, small building repairs, carpentry. There is some construction as they're building the campus in Piedras Negras. There's also 12 Christian churches there across the border and 6 at Eagle Pass. And we have the opportunity to do some Vacation Bible School work with them and work directly with the churches that were down there. And so we're gonna try to do that. The last slide I have here, just so you know, is what I've asked them to come up with. And this is quite inexpensive in comparison. The plane tickets are most costly. That gets to San Antonio. And then from San Antonio, one of the churches there locally, the Spanish churches, will pick us up. And we'll stay overnight at my brother-in-law's house and go to church with them the next morning and then jump in a van and head down to Eagle Pass, about 2 or 3 hour drive. And then once we get there, the $250 goes towards taking care of our food once we're there, as well as construction materials and those types of things. And then, of course, there's some that still need passports. That's about what a passport costs today, just under $100, and then spending money to get down and back. The challenge. Again, our fifth purpose is to share the good news with the whole world. Are you up to the challenge? Let's take a moment to take stock of our own ministries that we're involved with. How focused are you on sharing the good news to people you know and far beyond that? Where are you if I was to ask you to do that? I like on your bulletin, if you have one near you or a piece of paper, write down the name of someone you will pray for and check, and someone that you may seek to witness to this week or this month. I love takeaways. I do this with you as often as I can, because if you write something down and you take it away with you, I think I gave you a puzzle piece last time, talking about how we need to be united together. But if you take that away, you start to think about that a little bit more. Write down the name of someone you will pray for and seek to witness to this week or this month. Put it into practice, because if you don't do it, you won't do it. And you'll be ignoring your fifth purpose as a disciple of Christ. Now you got something written down there. Dare to reach beyond your personal world to care for all the world. Think bravely. Write down one type of ministry that you will try that stretches you beyond your comfort zone, and that's the tough one. Something that takes you beyond your comfort zone that you would like to try. It may be as simple as working in a shelter. It may be as simple as here, something that's novel, bringing a toy for a child. We've got some buckets out here. We're going to try to share to the community that are less fortunate here in Seattle, to the help of the Union Gospel Mission. We're going to bring them some blankets that the ladies have been working with. We'd like to also share with the children. If you have that opportunity to go and purchase something and bring it and put it in one of the bins out there, go beyond your comfort zone. I just hope that God blesses you as you fulfill His purpose in life as disciples. I'm going to review just quickly as I close, and then we'll have announcements. We, as disciples, have five purposes. If we leave one out, you're not then doing what a disciple needs to do. How are you on your worship? How is your daily life of worship going with Him right now? Is that something you need to work in? Are you a disciple? And are you discipling others? Teaching them to obey. Fellowship. How much time do you spend to get to know your family here? How well do you know them? Do you love them? Love them enough to give your life for them? Ministry. Service is a very important part of our work. It's practicing what we believe. It's putting it to practice. And a part of that ministry is to go and evangelize, to share the good news. These are your purposes as disciples of Christ. You will only fulfill those purposes when you do them and go forward. What do we need to do as we move forward as disciples? Are we like Jesus? Are we becoming more like Him? Thank you. Put it on.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate a lot of good points in that message. We should pray together that God will quicken the things to our hearts that are most critical. A few announcements before we dismiss this morning. First of all, an announcement that I would appreciate Becky Jesse. Perhaps she could share that with us. There she is.
Fairly had her baby this morning at 9 a.m. Baby boy is named Silas Lee Thomas. I think he's 7.3 pounds and 18 and a half inches. So he's probably good.
Okay. The Thomases have a brand new little baby. Thank you. This afternoon at 1 o'clock is going to be the rehearsal for the Christmas play. It's being headed up by our teen team, the evangelism team that especially focuses on teens. We have a few people in the group that are in their extremely late teens. So that's going to be at 1 o'clock this afternoon. And also, there will be a baby shower for Cindy Nisley Benedict. And that will be this afternoon at 1:30. This is all here at the building. These things are all going to work somehow. 1 o'clock, 1:30, pretty close time schedule. Rachel would appreciate our prayers. That is Rachel Hawkes. Has an interview coming up that's very important to her, so let's keep that in prayer. And Winnie Boyd's daughter is going to be leaving. She's been taking care of Winnie for the last week and a half. and she's going to be leaving. So that means Winnie will be alone quite a bit, could maybe use a call or a word of encouragement. And also, there'll be some planning to provide her food. And you can coordinate that through Carolyn Chase. Church Work Day is coming up this coming Saturday at 10 o'clock here at the church building. Questions, contact the deacons on that. Women's Breakfast is going to be December 16th at 9:30 here at the building, and that you can contact Shirley Nisley on that. Yes. I really can't hear from in the back there, but can everybody else hear that? No.
There's a work party for the mission to the blanket. We'll have some snacks.
Okay, a work party for the women working on blankets? Okay. Questions, contact Carolyn Chase. So, let's see. New staff dinner meeting that will be today at 12:30 to 2 o'clock. Small group staff meeting today at 5 to 6 o'clock. This is all here at the building. Tomorrow night will be the high school night, and that will be at 7 p.m. at Rodney Chase's home. And the gift toy drive challenge from the youth ministry to the church, we are being challenged by the youth. This happens every year. It's very upsetting to me for a little while, but then the adults always win. Details on that, contact Daryl Chase Jr. Okay? Yes?
Possibly three more volunteers, put the team together for Christmas Day. I tried to figure they were people wouldn't be busy. About 8 o'clock, we're going to be heading down Pioneer Square. There's a building we're going to use to prepare breakfast for about 50 homeless people. Two of them are taken care of and provided. We're just going to be there to help prepare the meal, serve the food, clean up a little bit before and after, get things ready, maybe sit and eat with some of the people. Anything about five people, I have myself and one, possibly two others. So if it's something anybody would be interested in doing and want to let me know, if transportation is an issue, I can provide transportation there. See about 8 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, that's Christmas Day. Corey is going down to the...
I'll probably back down on Christmas Eve. So, everyone else will need to be ready to just go.
Okay. Okay. So he's going to be downtown in an interesting area, and you're asking for security guards? Is that what... Okay. Okay, details, contact Lori. As many of you are probably aware, there is a movie that has come out about the Nativity story. In fact, that is the name of it. And I have not seen the movie. We don't have a chance to preview these things. But it looks like it may be an interesting presentation of the Nativity story. If you're interested in finding out more, you can find these inserts that are out in the entryway on the table there. It's just a little bit about the Nativity story. So you're welcome to check it out if you'd like. Any other announcements, questions? Let's all stand and close with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we come before you this morning thankful for the joys of serving you together. Grateful, God, for your immense power and love in each of our lives. Father, we pray that as we seek to build your kingdom, that you would bless our way with light and assurance and with the fullness of your Spirit. God, we pray that as we go our separate ways this week, that you would remind us that we are one. That you would remind us, Father, of our total dependence on you for everything that's important. God, we ask that you would guide our way, that our hearts would be open to you. In Jesus' name, amen.